You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com, and we finally had Week 12 finish. It was a kind of a predictable game there on Monday. We'll break that down, the Texans-Ravens. Before we dive into what we usually do here on Tuesdays is Pickup Tuesday. We'll help you with your waiver wire and free agent budget advice here today. The guys you need to prioritize for now, the guys you need to prioritize for stash later in the playoffs for fantasy are just around the corner. Quick reminder, go to iTunes and leave a review of the show and your Twitter handle, and you'll have a shot to win a Pro Football Focus Edge subscription of $39.99 value. You just leave your Twitter handle with it, and we'll pick one winner per show, per week on the Locked On Network. So go do that. Put it in a kind word. And you have a chance to have insight of PFF with you there for a whole year to give you a little bit of edge both in fantasy and knowing the rest of the NFL. So let's dive right into what we have for the Ravens-Texans. 23-16. Was the final. When you look at this, we like Joe Flacco in this one against this Texans secondary. Unfortunately, the Texans run defense actually did not show up in this one. So that actually hurt Flacco here because the Ravens could control the clock, run all over them. 31 carries, 139 yards total, 16 for 60 for Alex Collins. You had really no one else contribute too much as you had a long run by Joe Flacco. That was his best play to close out the game, a 25-yarder, six rushes for 42. So they could do whatever they want running. They had a lot of big play chances to Mike Wallace, and this is the problem with Mike Wallace. He had 11 targets but caught only five for 48 yards here. So there were a lot of big play chances, touchdowns, and down-the-field throws that they were off on. So overall, that's the Ravens' passing game continues to be hard to trust. Collins, even with the return of Danny Woodhead, who, by the way, had eight touches for 45 yards, return in terms of real usage. Last week he was back, but this was more of what his usage would be like. They love Collins, and you see that here. 16 for 60 with that TD. Very effective there again. So he's still the lead dog in this backfield, and everyone else is kind of filling in holes. Woodhead and Allen have kind of split that receiving third down type role. On the other side of things, we had Lamar Miller grinded through for a good day here with 58 yards from scrimmage. Had the first TD of the game, actually. The Texans led 7-0. So you were happy if you had Lamar Miller. You're happy if you had DeAndre Hopkins. Tough matchup against Jimmy Smith. Didn't matter. Tough one-on-one coverage. 10 targets, as expected. Tom Savage looks his way pretty much everywhere with one-on-one. 7 for 125. So solid day for Hopkins. No touchdowns, but in a tough matchup, you'll take that any day. And Tom Savage, 252 yards, two interception. Typical day for him, but he's getting the ball to DeAndre Hopkins to make Hopkins owners happy and make sure Lamar Miller also gets some end zone love. Wanting to know about next year's fantasy football stars now? Well, the best way to do that is to tune into the Locked On NFL Draft Show. It gives you the great insight on the prospects that are coming out and a lot of good offensive talent there in next year's draft, including Saquon Barkley, the running back from Penn State, bound to have an immediate impact here in the NFL, and some good guys on defense, too, that are going to be on future streaming defenses, Minkah Fitzpatrick of Alabama. So great guys all around. We'll see some quarterbacks as well, Lamar Jackson, and seeing what he can do as a dual threat, maybe be the next Deshaun Watson in the NFL. So check out Locked On Draft. It's a terrific show, and it's never too early to start thinking about what will be happening when your team is on the clock in April. Our pickups of the week, and we'll start at running back because everyone always needs help at running back, it seems like. And there's some interesting situations developing here. You have to look at Rod Smith. I mean, he's been kind of still lingering out there in the waiver wire. People didn't know what role he was going to have with Alfred Morris, with Ezekiel Elliott out. But Rod Smith might have taken over that backfield. They said they were going to go to hot hand approach. Smith and Alfred Morris were about the same against the Chargers. It was a tough game for both. But Smith showed a little bit of juice and receiving ability and finished well in the red zone as well. So I could see a change where you see a little bit more of Rod Smith against the Redskins. You can run on the Redskins, so I'd expect a lot of Morris and Smith. As the Cowboys' offense is struggling, they'll go back to basics here as much as possible against a team you can run on. So Rod Smith, I think, has to be owned as long as Ezekiel Elliott's out, which is for a few more games till that Seattle game. So keep that in mind. You want to have a share of this backfield because I think it's going to be a backfield-heavy team going forward with Morris and Smith. Now, if you're going to decide between which Tampa Bay Bucs back to pick up, well, we know Doug Martin. He's just been pretty much useless all year as an RB2, save for the Patriots game. So we saw a little bit of changing finally there, where a little bit of Jaquizz Rodgers, Peyton Barber had the touchdowns, the two scores against the Falcons. So when I look at the volume, you definitely go Rodgers over Barber. Barber was a bit fluky. They used him in a goal line situation twice and he came through, but Rodgers, we know that Dirk Koetter has a long history with him dating back to the Falcons. He had no problems feeding Rodgers a heavy workload when Martin was on the shelf and struggling last year. So you look at Rodgers, he's the Bucs back I'd rather have of that duo. I'm not too crazy about what that group can do. And playing Green Bay is pretty good against the run, better against the run than the pass this week. So that also favors Rodgers because he's in those situations a little bit more as well. So definitely it's Jaquizz there as a guy I'm targeting the backfield. Now, I know it doesn't sound exciting, but you have to look at a couple of guys that are behind other guys. And James Conner of the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell, you see the volume there. If anything were going to happen to Bell, you'd expect Connor to pick up a lot of that volume. He's underrated as a receiver. He was a good power back at Pittsburgh, the University of. And with the Steelers, he's been a reliable backup. We haven't seen too much of him because they like to feed Bell so much, get him to that 30-touch range in so many games. So, but eventually, Bell can break down and wear down. And I think you have to ensure Bell with Connor, especially if you own Bell. Even if you don't, he's worth nice speculation because he could have a big impact down the stretch if something were to happen to Bell. Another guy that you have to look at is Charcandrick West. With the way things are going for the Chiefs, Kareem Hunt has struggled a little bit. Part of it is not getting the right volume that he got early in the season, but there are some issues there with maybe not running the same way, maybe hitting a rookie wall a little bit here. So West, they're going to have to work in a little bit more. Remember, this was a lot of Spencer Ware and Charcandrick West last year. They didn't have one guy in all areas, and West has been a consistent third down back presence when they're trailing as well. They just haven't been trailing as much in the early part of the season, and now they're always trailing, it seems like. So they need a bit of a spark. They also don't have many things in the receiving core beyond what Tyreek Hill can give them. Albert Wilson flashes a little bit, but Charcandrick West could also help in that area. They need some more playmakers, and I think he'll get a few more touches down the stretch. Nothing too exciting, but maybe a deep league flex at some point. And a great pickup also if something were to happen to Hunt, so some insurance there for sure. Another guy in that mold, I think, well, two guys are TJ Yeldon and Chris Hybree. Leonard Fournette clearly bothered by that ankle injury still. He was able to have that 100-yard game against the Browns, but it took a grind, and he faced a better overall defense in the Cardinals last week, and he saw things kind of slow down. Yeldon was more effective there as a receiver, had to get him a few more touches. Chris Hybree did have the costly fumble in that game, so that's why I put Yeldon over Hybree. He's more versatile. They can do more things with him. Again, they need a little bit more spark in their passing game as well with Marquise Lee as the number one and trying to find some other guys to help. So I go Yeldon over Ivory in that situation, very similar to Rodgers over Barber in the Bucs situation. And one more guy I'll mention, Eddie Lacy. It looks like the Seahawks are committed to him again. They're giving him the ball in a lot of opportunities. He still hasn't done much to trust you that he'll score, but you'll try to maybe take a speculation on him. They do have a favorable matchup at some point here. I won't like him this week against the Eagles. I don't think they'll be able to run on the Eagles, but the Jaguars are a team in a couple weeks that has given up some rushing yards to power-type backs, so Lacy might have a chance in that one, especially with a tough matchup for the passing game of Seattle. So Lacy again, Seattle backs, proceed with caution. You can't expect too much, but you might as well keep speculating and hope you hit something here. And remember, Chris Carson was effective at some point when he was healthy, and we're not sure if he's going to return, so we can give that up and maybe look at the guys they're giving the ball to now. Now, as we move on to wide receiver, it's really the young guys that you have to look at for sure. The guy you have to look at is Zay Jones here of the Bills. I like him as a top ad. They're playing the Patriots this week, so he could be usable in maybe some garbage time production issues there. But you look at him, he's really the number one receiver now in Buffalo. Kelvin Benjamin just not healthy. They're not going to force him into the lineup when he's not fully healthy. They just picked him up. They don't want to ruin the rest of the season. And remember, he's had major knee injuries in the past. So Zay Jones is operating as the number one. You see Tyrod Taylor treat him that way here in this offense. He did score against the Chiefs last week. So I think Zay Jones needs to pick him in every league. The rookie from East Carolina really having an impact, and no one else really on that Bills passing game. You look at Jordan Matthews and Deontay Thompson. These are all just limited guys. Well, Zay Jones has an upside of a second-round draft pick. Dede Westbrook, I mentioned the Jacksonville's looking for a passing spark. He was a second leading receiver. Really, he was the leading receiver against the Cardinals from that particular matchup with Patrick Peterson and Marquise Lee, but he's a second option behind Lee with Allen Hurns not looking like he's returning anytime soon. So I think a Westbrook breakout could be here soon. It could be against the Colts this week, so watch out for that. So Westbrook, another rookie that's on the rise. Remember, Heisman finalist this time last year at Oklahoma, shaking off that core muscle injury. I think now's the time maybe you start to look at him. I think it was a bit early to speculate on him there. Corey Coleman, last call probably for him. He was owned in a lot of leagues, knowing that he was the number one receiver. Don't forget about him. There's been a lot of attention on Josh Gordon, but Josh Gordon hasn't played football in a long time. Corey Coleman is playing football. He's getting targeted by DeShone Kizer. There's a bit of a trust factor there. So Corey Coleman is definitely a guy that you have to pick up, and he should be owned in all leagues, I think even some 10-teamers and definitely all 12-teamers at this point. Now, this is a matchup-based play, but look at Jermaine Kearse. He's the number two receiver. The Chiefs have gotten eaten up by that side away from Marcus Peters. You figure they'll put Peters on Robbie Anderson this week. So Kearse should have another opportunity to have a big day, which he did against the Panthers. The Panthers also not good at that number two corner spot, and Kearse had a touchdown there, ran through the entire defense. And the way the Chiefs secondary is playing right now, you might get the old friend Darrell Revis pop in there against the Jets. That would be kind of weird, but still like Kearse and his potential there as a number two receiver is a sneaky play and a good GPP, by the way, if you're in DFS. Now, Marquise Goodwin comes a lot into play this week because of Jimmy Garoppolo likely starting in Chicago. Goodwin has been the number one receiver there since Pierre Garçon went down. He made a big play against the Giants. It was their leading receiver against the Seahawks. So Goodwin against the Bears, it's not a scary Bears secondary. Jimmy Garoppolo is a pretty good quarterback. Don't forget about that. So with that knee contusion C.J. Beathard has, I think Marquise Goodwin could definitely be here in the mix for the 49ers as a highly targeted guy. I think Garoppolo is smart enough to know that he's their best field stretcher in the main place. Probably the last call for Dontrell Inman. You look at what he's done with the Bears. He's immediately stepped in as the number one receiver. He's had to. Josh Bellamy, remember, missed this past week with a concussion. So Inman, still a good PPR day against the Eagles. I think it could be better, a lot better against the 49ers in that secondary this week. So Goodwin and Inman in the same game can give you a good value there. I think you have to look at some replacement receivers out on the West Coast too. We'll close with those. Michael Crabtree was suspended two games there for the Aqib Talib fight. And, you know, he'll probably make a appeal there, but keep in mind that Amari Cooper was also knocked out of that game with a nasty hit, a concussion. So you look at the two guys that are up on deck. I mean, you can look at Johnny Holton, but he's pretty much the deep threat. on the Raiders at this point. Cordarrelle Patterson, he's been a number one receiver before, briefly in Minnesota. He's been pretty much turned into a gadget player, wrinkle guy here in Oakland, but they'll need him. And he had that big catch at the end of the game against the Broncos, so Patterson is going to have to step up in the starting lineup no matter how you slice it with Crabtree and Cooper status. So he's going to move up, and so is Seth Roberts. Roberts is a slot guy, so keep in mind that they're facing maybe a giant secondary without Janoris Jenkins this week. So it's been a mess behind him with Eli Apple and Dominic Rogers Cromartie having some difficulty staying on the field and being productive. And they had another cornerback injury as well with the other side of the field. So when you look at Patterson and Roberts, good matchup for them, good break where there's no Jenkins on the other side. So Patterson's probably going to line up outside. Roberts is probably still going to work the slot mostly. They'll find maybe Holton to get out there and line up, maybe use a little bit more two tight ends as well with Jared Cook and Lee Smith. So I'm not as hot on Roberts, but Patterson will definitely be out there getting a lot of snaps, and we know that he has a good chemistry with Derek Carr, better than Roberts. Roberts had been that guy last year, but Patterson has kind of taken over as that occasional threat behind those two along with Holton. So I think I might go Patterson, Holton, Roberts in the way I look at this Raiders passing game. Josh Reynolds proved he stepped in nicely there for Robert Woods. He just didn't really have the same kind of skill set, but still came through and played very well for the Rams in that one. So Reynolds, Sean McVay is about the next guy up. We didn't know if it was going to be Gerald Everett or at tight end or Tavon Austin or maybe some Farrell Cooper, but clearly it was Reynolds over Mike Thomas there taking over for Woods. So you look at the matchup this week, it's the Cardinals. It's looking good. We know the Cardinals struggle against number two. Sammy Watkins is going to probably get Patrick Peterson. So another good spot for Reynolds on the outside, especially with Cooper Kupp drawing the attention inside. Probably Tyrann Mathieu and other guys there. So Reynolds versus Tremont Williams could be beneficial this week. And while Woods is out, Reynolds looks like he's going to have some value. Now make sure that whatever team you're following, whether it's the Raiders or Rams or Bears or 49ers, that you're listening to the Locked On NFL Network to get your weekly beat report. It's a great resource. Those guys do a great job, all our hosts, to go in depth on the teams and really take a deep dive throughout the week on the teams and get some great interviews with players and coaches as well. So check out all the shows on the Locked On NFL Network. Your beat report every week, every day. Now, we move on to the quarterbacks, and there's not too much here. At this point in the season, the byes are over, so you're locked into maybe the guys that you're playing every week for the most part. A couple of streamers I'll mention this week. Josh McCown leads it. I mean, he came through in a very tough matchup against the Panthers. Robbie Anderson, Jermaine Kearse came through. I think Austin Seferian Jenkins could have given him a bigger day if he had caught a touchdown. So McCown, after that slumpy game against the Bucks, he looks like he's back on track here, playing very well, moving around, finding his guys downfield. So McCown is definitely a guy you can use as streamer against the free-falling Chiefs here at home. I think you also have to look at Ryan Fitzpatrick. He just continues to get the job done in terms of moving the ball. Last week, Barber Payton had the two rushing touchdowns, but he was spreading the ball around well to Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson and O.J. Howard. So great matchup this week for some garbage production against the Packers secondary. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, streamer with a lot of appeal with Josh McCown. These guys just seem to get it done, and that's why they're still in the league for this long. If they've got some weapons around them, they're going to take advantage of them, and that's what we've seen with McCown and Fitzpatrick and the way they've played here in their roles. And Jimmy Garoppolo, we've been waiting to see what he could do for the 49ers. He stepped in the game. Beathard got hurt at the end of the Seahawks game. At the buzzer, Jimmy Garoppolo delivers a touchdown pass, his first as a 49er. So didn't waste any time. We've seen what he's done in New England. I don't think you treat him as like a rookie and unknown quantity. If you've seen Garoppolo play, he's got some decent weapons. The Bears matchup is not scary. He's from Illinois. He played in Eastern Illinois. So You like Jimmy Garoppolo right away if you need him as a streamer, but he's definitely a good backup to have this time down the stretch. I think his 49ers passing game will continue to improve, and there's some favorable matchups here to close the season, so keep that in mind. And Garoppolo could be a good backup for your team, especially in a deeper league. We'll look at the tight ends this week, and I really like O.J. Howard. I mentioned him just now. He's really seeing the bulk of the targets there with Fitzpatrick. The matchup against the Packers isn't too scary. We saw Jesse James have some open room to operate on Sunday night. So O.J. Howard, good blocker, getting rewarded for that. They realize he's a downfield threat. And with Mike Evans and Deshaun Jackson, both those guys could have good games as well working the outside. But I think they'll bracket one of those guys who take away the big play. That's going to leave the seam open for Howard. But I also just like Howard in general as a player that's on the rise. So you have to like him going forward here over Cameron Brate. If you're a Brate owner, I switched to Howard. I was pleased with his game with the 50-plus yards receiving. I expect a little bit more him here going forward, especially in the scoring range with him with Fitzpatrick. Charles Clay, hey, Tyrod Taylor's back. Charles Clay's back. That grouping is working again. And Clay's had some good games against the Patriots before. You know they'll try to stop LeSean McCoy to try to take him away. So Clay should have some opportunities to do things. Sometimes they take Clay out of the game as well. But overall, you just have to, in this wasteland of tight ends, mostly beyond the elite few guys, that you have to always be looking to improve at that position. Maybe not this week if the Patriots focus in on him, but he's definitely valuable. And Ricky Seals-Jones, you can't ignore this guy anymore. Two games with Blaine Gabbert starting, two big games there for Seals-Jones. Undrafted free agent. They needed somebody to make an impact. No John Brown, remember, with that toe injury. So they've needed an underneath receiver. Larry Fitzgerald obviously getting a ton of attention here. So Seals-Jones and Gabbert have a good connection. It's tough, though, against the Rams this week. They're very good against the tight ends because they're a linebacker and a safety play. Now, as we look at the defenses that you can look to for this week, here's a sneaky one for you as a streamer. It's the Miami Dolphins. And when you look at their matchup, they've been really bad here of late, but they're facing the Denver Broncos. And coincidentally, you can also look at the Broncos on the other side. Two teams that are an absolute mess offensively right now. So those are two ways to go for sure here on defense on this week, and they're probably going to be readily available because no one has looked at them at all. You could also look at the Bears and 49ers. Really, I would trust the Bears more. They're at home against the 49ers. Keep in mind Garoppolo is probably going to cut down the turnovers, so the 49ers I think have a few more playmakers defensively, which is funny because the Bears have been good defensively at some point, but Garoppolo changes things a little bit. If it's CJ Beathard, then you might feel a little bit better, but it's actually now the Bears with the young quarterback. So if you're going a little wacky, you can think 49ers. The Bears is a little bit safer just because they're at home, but keep in mind Jimmy G can change that outcome for sure. I think the Tennessee Titans can be valuable again against Tom Savage at home, so another good spot for the Titans if you need them. And then you look at another team that maybe would play a little bit over their head this week. It could be the Kansas City Chiefs. They've been a little bit disappointing of late, but they get the Jets. And the Jets, even with McCown having that big game, remember the Panthers were able to go off. Special team score there. Tyreek Hill can certainly do that. And the Chiefs defense. So that's kind of how I look at the streaming. I mean, I think you look at the Broncos, Dolphins, and Bears 49ers game. Got teams that you would never think about starting on defense at this point in the season, but when you face some bad offenses on both sides, it's bound to be ugly games, and that's what you have to look at there always to be helping your team. And one more I'll mention is the Raiders. They're getting the Giants at home. Played a very good game last week against the Broncos. Bad offense there. The Giants can move the ball, and we'll have to see if Sterling Shepard plays. Then I'm not as hot on the Raiders, but Khalil Mack and that pass rush, especially in the black hole, could have a sneaky effect there against the New York Giants. So there you have it. Thanks so much for listening for Pickup Tuesday. And as a reminder, we'll have Draft Wednesday coming up, which we'll have the usual matchup Wednesday, but it's also Draft Wednesday, where I'll get you into a league there for $3. You can play on Draft and check that out. And I will definitely set up that league for you. The best thing of all, that you'll have a promo code, and we'll talk to you about that tomorrow. But look for that draft to happen on Thursday before the games kick off, and I'll have a contest there set up, and I'll give you the details tomorrow. So tune in to tomorrow's show for the full details on how to get in to Draft Wednesday. For Locked On Fantasy Football, for Pickup Tuesday, this is Vinny Iyer. We'll talk to you tomorrow for Matchup Wednesday.